This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're now entering Place to Be Nation Sports Lounge. And now, here are your hosts, Roger Morissette, Chad Campbell, Andrew Flanagan, Jeff Machado, and Keith Schmidt.
Talking swamp sweating. That's for the bathtub full of sweat.
Hello, folks. Welcome to this week's edition of the Sports Lounge. This is our big Super Bowl preview that we told you about last week. We're taping this on Thursday, just three short days before the big game in Arizona. We have the Patriots versus the Seahawks. Two best teams in the NFL. Cannot wait. So the lounge is hopping in preparation for the game. I'm joined by one of my old mainstays, the straw that stirs the drink here in the Sports Lounge. Very liberal tonight with Cowboy Senior. How you doing, Cowboy Senior?
I'm doing great. It's been a great night in the lounge. It's great times with my favorite NFL team about to play in the Super Bowl. And yes, I'm ready to talk about the game.
Absolutely. And I can attest that Cowboy Senior has been hanging out at the bar in the lounge here for a while. So,
Better place is there, right?
If you should get that right down the middle, unbiased analysis that we're all used to. And then also, special guest, second time in the lounge. We love him. Former Syracuse great and NFL wide receiver, Rob Carpenter. How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing pretty good. Nice to be back in the lounge.
Absolutely. Well, it's great to have you back in the lounge. A lot of times we have someone in the lounge and they never come back. I don't know if it's senior, if it's me. So we're happy to have you. So it's let's get right to it. Big game this Sunday for all the marbles. You know, during the conference title games, as a Patriots fan, I was rooting for Green Bay because I knew it would be an easier game. But as a football fan, I wanted Seattle to win because this is not every year do you get clearly the two best teams in the NFL, the two teams that are playing the best. Both of them have been complete juggernauts since about week six. And, you know, it's kind of the unstoppable force versus the immovable object. So go to Rob. The first thing I wanted to break down about the game and what I think the key to the game, and you tell me what you think. I think when you boil it down, if the Patriots can run the ball on Seattle with Blount, I mean, and I'm not saying run it like they did against Indianapolis because that's not going to happen, obviously, but run it successfully against Seattle, not become one-dimensional like the Broncos were last year, then I see a Patriots victory. If they can't, I think it's a real tough hill to climb with that pass defense, so. What do you think, Rob?
I agree very much. The key for the Patriots is on both sides of the ball having to do with the running game. I've kind of been assessing the Patriots' defense for the last 2 months now, and they really don't get enough credit. Patriots' defense has been playing great for the last half of the season and into the playoffs. And I very much agree with you. If the way to beat Seattle, teams that have beaten them in the past, it is with the running game. It is kind of attacking the middle of their front seven. It kind of deflates their speed that they have on defense if you just run the ball right at them. So I couldn't agree with you more. If the Patriots actually going to win this game, it's going to be with the running game.
So was that a little Freudian slip there with the word deflate, Rob?
Just a little.
So if you follow Rob on Twitter, you know his thoughts on Deflategate. And so
pretty much.
So Senior, how do you think the running game breaks down for the Pats?
Right. Yeah, I think it is a big key. I agree because if you become one dimensional throwing the ball, I don't care I don't care who you have playing quarterback, and I mean, Tom's as good as it gets, but that secondary will just eat you alive. And when you talk about that Seattle secondary, everybody seems to focus on Sherman. And I agree, he's a great player, but to me, the key to their whole defense is those two safeties. They are so good. They're just so good. So you can't become one-dimensional against them. You can't be throwing the ball all over the lot. But, you know, as Carolina even showed in the playoffs, they're a team that, you know, as great as their defense is, and I'm not going to call it a weakness, but, okay, comparably speaking to trying to throw against, you have a better chance of being able to run the ball against them. Carolina ran the ball well and then really stayed in that game the whole game. If they wouldn't have thrown the pick six, it could have been a different game if they wouldn't have had the pick six in the fourth quarter. And, you know, I think the Pats should be able to run the ball somewhat effectively against them. And if they can, now you can do something with a play-action pass here and there. And I'm not saying you're going to score a bundle of points against them, but that might allow the Pats to score enough points to win. Conversely, the key to the Pats, the strength of the Pats defense is their secondary and their ability to stop the pass. I mean, we saw what the Ravens did against them running the ball. So as good as the Pats have been playing defensively, as a Patriot fan, I still fear Marshawn and the Seattle running game as to how they can get. He just gets better as the game goes on, and by the fourth quarter, all of a sudden, he's starting to get into that second level of the defense where he can really hurt you. So, yeah, I do think that's the real key to the game, that whichever team runs the ball more effectively, and that's probably true in a lot of football games, though, too, but whichever team runs the ball more effectively is probably going to win. I know when you look at Super Bowls, a lot of times we're expecting a close game, we're expecting this great game, and we get shocked, and it turns out one team shows up and the other team doesn't, but I would be super surprised in this game if that happens. I think we're going to get a great close Super Bowl, and I think that's going to be the difference. Whichever team runs the ball more effectively is probably going to be the team that wins. And I think they're both going to be able to run the ball, but who's going to do it more effectively? I think that's who's going to tell the tale.
Thanks, Senior. And I mean, if that really is the barometer, I think the Patriots are in a world of trouble because, I mean, to ask the Patriots running game to outrun the Wilson-Lynch combo, I think, is not going to happen. I think, and Rob, I'll go to you after this, but my thought is, you know, the Belichick tends to, the Patriots are very good game planners, right? So if you're game planning for this game, if I'm game planning for this game, and I have Darrelle Revis and Brandon Browner against, clearly the weakness for the Seahawks for their whole team is at receiver. I mean, don't you put eight, nine guys in the box and just leave those guys one-on-one with Curse and Baldwin and dare Wilson to beat you? It's not that he can't, but it's the only – it seems to be the right strategy. What do you think, Rob?
I think that's pretty much what they're going to do. The other way to actually try to play against that Seattle running game is we take what the – Cardinals have done and what the Panthers have done. You can also take what the if you look back at the Super Bowl from when the Ravens actually played the 49ers, what the Ravens were doing was they just took one of the options away. They took away Kaepernick's running game. So they always had on every play, the read option was up. They always had one of the outside linebackers in that Super Bowl. It was Suggs. He was going to hit Kaepernick on every play. So he didn't – it basically took away that two-way option, had one, and I kind of think that Belichick is actually going to go along those lines a little bit. A lot of times in this game, I don't think he's going to stack the box with 8 or 9 and give Russell that chance to get a big play downfield, even though, you know, you got Revis and Browner and McCourty circling around back there. But, you know, anything can happen with those big plays, and I don't think Belichick is actually going to take that chance to do that. He'll just load up seven up front, and I think, and this is just me taking a guess, I think he's just going to take away one of the options, and it's probably going to be Russell Wilson. He'll just take Collins Probably Embiid, that one guy that's taken away.
Yep, and so Lynch is going to get what he's going to get. Lynch has had his share of big plays, but when they're real dangerous is when like the both of them are rushing for 100 yards, which has happened a couple of times this year. And having watched the Patriots all season, they've been susceptible to that type of read option type of play. So I think that would be a sound strategy. Now, on the other side of the ball, how do you think the Patriots are going to be able to score? Right. So, I mean, we said, you know, we want them to control, you know, or as an offense, their prerogative should be to run the ball, to set up the pass. I think there's a pretty good chance that doesn't work. I mean, the Seattle run defense is no joke. And I think they're going to come in looking to stop the run. Right, I mean, because if you and I and Senior see that as what the Pats should be doing, I think Seattle probably sees that too. And then those are one-on-one matchups on the outside that it's tough to see the Pats guys winning, right? Receivers, and Gronkowski's the X factor, right? How do you think the Seahawks deal with Gronkowski?
Honestly, I don't think they change anything. I kind of am taking what Pete Carroll basically said, and if you've watched Seattle enough, they don't change. It doesn't matter who they're playing. You know, they kind of play how the old school, and when I mean old school, I mean like the late 80s, 90s NFC defenses used to play. They just lined up with their basic defense, and they played it. And, you know, they showed you what they were going to do. They didn't do anything out of character, and they just forced you to try to beat them, which didn't work a lot. Look at the Cowboys defenses, San Francisco defenses, even teams like the Eagles, even though the Eagles never won a championship. But the Eagles defenses, they just basically lined up and said, this is what we do, and that's it. And, you know, you change to try to beat us. We're going to do what we do, and that's that. And I think, listening to what Pete Carroll has said all week, that's what they're going to try to do. Gronk is going to be an X factor. He's definitely in. I don't think they have anybody that can match up with him to actually take him out of the game. He's going to get his plays. Where it's tough for New England is when they get in the red zone. I don't think there's another defense in the league that is as tough in the red zone as Seattle is, because of their speed and their length at mostly all of the positions in the defensive backfield. Those guys are big, except for, you know, Earl Thomas. He's short safety, but his speed makes up for that, and he'll hit you. Cam is long. Richard Sherman is long. So they have a lot of length back there. Their D-line and defensive ends, those guys are long. Bobby Wagner, I think, is the X factor for them on defense. When he came back into the lineup, their defense took off. And he's probably going to be the guy between him and Chancellor, you know, having to deal with Gronk most of the time in the passing game. So it's going to be fun to watch. But between Gronk, and also I'll throw another guy out there, is Shane Vereen, coming out of the backfield. He will probably have to make a lot of plays for the passing game to take off.
Yeah, because it's tough to see the receivers doing too much, given who they're going to be matched up with. So, Green, what's your take there, Senior, on the Gronkowski Pats offense versus Seattle defense?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what Rob said. That's what Seattle does. You know, what the Patriots do to a lot of people is, a lot of defenses, not so much what they do during a play, but what they do before a play with all the different formations and all the different things they do. They get defenses to really react and move around and really try to outthink themselves before the ball's even snapped. Where with Seattle, that's not going to happen. And I would think that Belichick knows that. But that's what Seattle does. They line up and they play defense. They're not going to react to anything that's going on before the play. They're just going to line up and play their defense. And so we got to line up and play offense, and it's going to come down to matchups. And obviously, if you're just lining up and playing defense against the Patriots and not concerning themselves with all the things they do or with anybody in particular, yeah, the key guy becomes Gronk, you know, because if you're not doing a lot of extra, paying a lot of extra special attention to him, maybe he's that guy that can win the game for the Pats. We talk about, Rob talked about Seattle's great red zone defense, which I completely agree with, but on the other side, that goes against that they're going to be going against the strength of the Patriots in the red zone. Gronk is one of the best red zone players in the NFL. So it's going to be strength against strength, and these are going to just be great matchups to watch. And you know, you talk about stuff like that, and that's why this is like a dream game. This matchup, you know, you look at the Super Bowl every year, and when can you remember a Super Bowl that looks this good? That looks, you know, that really looks like you've got the two right teams, the perfect matchup in it. And the whole weird thing is with this whole Deflategate thing and everything else that's gone on, we really haven't gotten this game hyped as much as the average Super Bowl gets hyped. And a lot of the hype just hasn't happened. I usually feel overblown by hype right now, and I feel like I've been overloaded with information and going over and over the game, and it hasn't happened this year because so much of the talk has been about the crazy Deflategate thing. But yeah, we really do have just the most intriguing matchup you can possibly have. And yeah, I think that's going to be great. That whole red zone thing is going to be great. And then on the other side of the ball, the Patriots defense, I mean, that's their mark. They've been, but when they get in the red zone, they're really good. You know, that's always been the mark of the Belichick defense. They've been, but they don't break. So what happens in the red zone is obviously going to be a big key to deciding this game. And those are going to be interesting matchups to watch.
Absolutely. So, Rob, Russell Wilson's last game, complete stinker, right? I mean, just could not have played worse. Do you think it's just a throwaway game where, you know, just kind of everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong? Or were there things Green Bay was doing defensively that the Patriots could take a cue from to... there's no way he's going to have that bad of a game, but to force a turnover or two. What did you see there from Wilson? But personally, I saw a great player playing the worst game of his life. What did you see?
I can go along those lines, but as a player, knowing how the elements play factors in certain games that a lot of people don't get to experience from watching on TV, I do think the elements had a lot to do with what was going on out there. The wind, the rain, slick balls. A couple of his interceptions actually weren't his fault. You know, bouncing off receivers' hands and things like that. That's, you know, quarterback's doing his job. The receiver just didn't do his job. It just so happens that, you know, tip drills happen and then the quarterback is going to get all the blame. But I'm pretty sure Belichick had looked at what Green Bay was doing. And it's going to take some of what they did to keep Russell Wilson in the pocket. That's one of the things that you actually have to do with him is actually keep him in the pocket. A lot of teams will do what you call a mush rush. And the outside pass rushers won't just race up the field to, you know, try to beat the tackles. They'll actually try to just close the pocket down. And you have to keep the two inside guys if you're just rushing four. You know, just pushing the pocket back. That's your best bet. And that's what Green Bay was doing great through most of the game. I tweeted this when it happened. One play, 3rd and 19, and Green Bay decided to rush three guys and let Russell Wilson stand back there for 10 seconds and complete that 3rd and 19 for a first down, change the whole game. I just said right there, they just threw the game away. If they would have stopped them on that game, Green Bay would be moving on. But, that's something that I'm sure Belichick will not do in this game at all. I doubt you'll ever see a three-man rush against Russell Wilson at any point in time in this game. but the best thing that I think they will do is try to keep him in the pocket. And again, go back to what I was saying before. I think they, in their anticipated running game, I think they will just try to take away the read option and just take Russell Wilson away. And just, you know, use the gang tackling method to try to get Marshawn Lynch down. So You know, it's worked with some of the teams in the past. Gronk, on both sides of the ball, Gronk is going to get his plays. You know, Marshawn is going to get his plays. You know, it's just going to come down to which other guys on the team can make make more plays. So, LeGarrette Blount is going to be a factor. I actually think Wilson, the other Wilson, tight end for Seattle, may be a factor in this game. He's kind of getting overlooked, but he's made some plays, quite a few big plays for them in their run second half of the season and through the playoffs. So, like Senior said, this is probably one of the, for me, this is one of the most anticipated Super Bowls in a while for me to watch. I picked these two teams preseason. I figured they would be number one in each conference. So, you know, you get a number one versus number one matchup in a Super Bowl, man. This is like a dream for everybody that's actually just a football fan.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, kind of a similar they both took a similar path in that they both looked pretty bad early in the season. I mean, the Patriots obviously had that debacle against Kansas City where people were calling for Jimmy Garoppolo. And, you know, Seattle was 3-3, right, at one point. And, you know, the way they both turned it on – so it's not – we don't have a situation with – I don't want to, like, disparage against the Giants. That's not what I'm doing. But where the Giants, you know, didn't have a great year and kind of got hot at the right time and carried that through the playoffs. I mean, it's legitimate. They won the Super Bowl. But these have been the two best teams in the league for the last, you know, 13, 14 weeks. And, I mean, I can't wait. So, Rob, I saw a little conversation you were having on Twitter. So, I wanted to talk about the quarterbacks in this game. And I think for Brady, the Deflategate stuff aside, I think if he wins this game against this defense and has a real game, that it's very difficult. It's tough not to call him the best quarterback of all time. I mean, the argument's there, the same number of Super Bowls as Montana, and to beat this defense that a lot of people say is the best defense since the 85 Bears. But what's not being talked about a lot, and I don't know how many people share the feelings of your Twitter follower there, that that Russell Wilson is simply a product of, you know, almost like he's Trent Dilfer, you know, great defense, right, great running game, and he's not doing anything. I mean, I couldn't disagree with that more. It sounds like they're going to make him the highest paid quarterback in the league, which I think he deserves to be. Now, if he wins this game, legacy-wise, we're talking about a guy. I mean, he's got we could be looking at the best, you know, a guy who in the future is going to be considered the greatest quarterback of all time. So why don't you talk to me about both guys' legacies, what you feel about both quarterbacks?
You know, I can't disagree with you about Brady. If Patriots win this game, he'll probably go down as the, right now, as the greatest quarterback to ever play this game. You know, his accomplishments, they speak for themselves. You know, you're not going to find another quarterback that has done what he's done. And they end up winning this game 4-2 in Super Bowls. You know, how many other quarterbacks can you say actually have gone to 6 Super Bowls at any other point in time? And that debate will always be there with Montana. That's the only other quarterback that you can probably put in the conversation with Brady at the moment for as far as in the Super Bowl era. Yeah, they went to 4, they won 4, and that'll be the only other person that you could put there. But no, Tom is going to go down as one of the best of all time, regardless, win or lose this game. You know, he'll always be in the conversation of that 2-3, you know, top guys that played quarterback in the Super Bowl era. Now, as you said, if Seattle wins this game, Russell Wilson will be talked about in a whole other category. For a guy to come into the league and be in the Super Bowl, you know, twice in his first 3 seasons, and win 2 in his first 3 seasons, it's going to bode well for him. But in my opinion, it's going to bode well for Seattle, period, the team, as you can look at them as one of the best teams to ever play the game. With that defense and with the way Russell plays along with Lynch And they don't have what we would consider great receivers on that team. If they win this game, you definitely have to look at them as one of the best teams to ever play this game and put him in the conversation. You know, his career is young, but when you look back at it, it's going to be one of the greatest feats that ever happened. And as you said, you saw my conversation with the Twitter follower yesterday. I actually just thought that guy was actually just real bitter about something. That, you know, as I said to one of my other followers, I said, I guess he must have placed a bet on Seattle at one point in time and they lost. You know, he's hated Russell ever since then. But to call him, you know, a below average quarterback, that's kind of silly. He doesn't have the weapons that, you know, a lot of the other so-called top quarterbacks have as far as on the outside. Does have a great running game. The team does have a great defense. But as I actually kind of said to him in a roundabout way, he is the quarterback who has to make the decisions to get the offense rolling. You know, he has to make the decision whether to hand the ball to Marshawn or the read option or keep it. He has to make the decision to read what the defense is doing and make the correct pass, you know, in certain situations. So, you know, they did have another quarterback that was pretty high paid there before he actually got the starting job, and he couldn't do it. So, you know, you got to give Russell Wilson a lot of credit for what he's doing over these past few years. But it's going to be an incredible thing to actually see how the team, if Seattle wins it, how the team actually compensates him, and if they're able to keep, you know, the core of what they have on the team together. One thing we do know, Marshawn Lynch is not going to be there much longer. He's under contract for next season, but past that, you know, for me, just thinking about what he's gone through, what he's doing, it'd be hard-pressed for me to even think that he'll probably plays after next season, if he even plays next season. So this is going to be interesting. Him and Russell will probably be one of the highest-paid players in the league, period, so. It's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And I completely agree with you about Wilson. And, you know, I know, you know, some people say luck. Well, I mean, the team builds their offense around their quarterback, right? And there's not a better quarterback for Seattle's offense than Russell Wilson. I think, you know, if you put luck back there, it's not the same type of offense, right? It's a different offense. And it's not Seattle does have a great defense. But it's not as though Wilson hasn't been capable of winning a shootout or two. And if that's what this game turns into, which I think is possible, frankly, I think you could end out with, you know, 28-24 type of thing. And I mean, he scares the heck out of me as a Pats fan, because he seems to always rise to the occasion. I mean, what is it? Is it 10-0 or 11-0 against quarterbacks who have won Super Bowls? You can
10-0.
Be honest on that stat. So, yeah, I mean, the kid's got all the intangibles in the world, and he's a great player. When they pay him, which they're going to have to pay him, part of the reason that they're able to they're a stacked team, and part of the reason for that is it's pretty nice when you draft a guy in the third round and he's like a top five quarterback right away, because you're only paying him $500,000 or so, and you can spend elsewhere. So we'll see. Baltimore was in the same situation with Flacco. Flacco took every penny he possibly could have. It cost Baltimore a bunch of players, but they've still been right there every year. And I think you'll see the same thing with Seattle. Senior. What are your thoughts on the two quarterbacks here? Do you have anything to add? Anything you feel differently about?
No, I agree. I think I told you that earlier this year, and very early this year, that, you know, when you hear people discuss who the great quarterbacks in the league are, it's Aaron Rodgers, it's Tom Brady, it's Peyton Manning, and people don't say Russell Wilson. I told you I thought that Russell Wilson was an elite quarterback. Just does it a little differently than those guys do. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think he's really intelligent. I think he's the one guy, you know, you say you can't survive in the NFL running a lot, but somehow he's got the knack of running and not getting hit. You know, he always slides at the right time. He's got the speed to get out of bounds at the right time. He runs around and doesn't take a beating. He's just a really smart. He's really the perfect player for that team. I totally agree with you, and I consider him. I think he's a great player.
I heard Pete Carroll talking on his press conference earlier today, and even yesterday, and he pointed out that, as you said, a lot of coaches will, you know, gear their offense toward their quarterbacks. Colts do it with Andrew Luck. Of course, every top quarterback has had their offense geared towards their strengths. And Pete Carroll pointed out the fact that Russell Wilson was a great baseball player. He was a good basketball player. He was a good football player. So if they do everything with their offense geared toward what he does well. And if it takes him actually running the ball, which is overlooked as far as the great pundits and great debaters out here of the quarterback position. You know, if he only throws for 150 yards in a game, throws one touchdown, but runs for 80 yards and runs for a touchdown, you know, the pundits will say, you know, he's just an average quarterback, you know, which kind of boggles my mind because no other quarterback out here is actually doing the same thing. He accounted for two touchdowns. He accounted for more than 200 yards. It's the same thing as a quarterback just dropping back, just throwing the ball, you know, 30 times a game, which they don't do. They don't have to because of Lynch. But, you know, he just does what he does very well. And, you know, it gets overlooked because he's a different type of quarterback.
Totally agree. Well, there was another thing I wanted to ask you about, if you felt the same way as I did. I mean, I probably wouldn't, talking about the other guy, not probably, I've pretty much seen every professional game that Tom Brady's played, being a person who's up here in New England and who's a Patriot fan. And I thought the game a few weeks ago against Baltimore, if they win it all, or even if they don't, no matter what happens Sunday, that's a game that I'm going to remember as one of the huge highlights of his career. I thought that just played so well in that game. It's a game where Pats couldn't run the ball at all, and they didn't do a good job of keeping push off of him. He took a vicious beating in that game and still managed to throw for 367 yards. Really, his passing was unbelievable when you consider the beating he took. And on top of that, the times that they went down 14-0 and 28-14, when they showed him on the sidelines, I said, he's got that look. He's such a leader. He had that look that he wasn't going to be denied that day. He didn't care what the score was. And I just thought it was, if it wasn't the greatest performance of his career, I don't think he's ever had a better one. He's an important situation. I'd like to get your thoughts on what you thought of his performance against Baltimore a few weeks ago.
For him to, what you just pointed out, make two 14-point comebacks in a playoff game, that will set him up as one of the best to play. We all knew the Ravens were going to be that team that they had to beat. That was probably their only kryptonite that they've had over the last few years. And like you said, go down 14-0, bring them back, then go down again 28-14, bring them back, and actually win the game for them, basically. You know, that you can't take that away from them. You just look at Tom Brady, and you know, there's going to be tons of people out here who dislike him for the way that the Patriots win. But I can't deny what he's actually done over his career. You know, that's why I said, for all time, he's always going to be one that's in the conversation for that one, two, three top guy in this, you know, Super Bowl era of quarterbacks, of the way quarterbacks are looked at nowadays. He'll always be in that conversation. He's probably, and I'm not going to say probably, he has separated himself from Peyton Manning. As the quarterbacks who everybody would talk about, you know, over the past 10 years, he's pretty much, you know, moved himself way past Wes Peyton. But when his career is over, you know, you look at him and be like, you know, he's one of the guys that did it year in, year out. Can't take it away from him. Big games, he did it. You know, he's won enough Super Bowls to put himself in that conversation. And as, you know, I said earlier, if they actually win this game, you know, 4 out of 6 Super Bowls, you know, you can't. I don't think there's going to be anybody that pretty much can top that.
No. And again, I think specifically against this defense. He doesn't Correct. He doesn't have, like, the first Super Bowl, he was just a kid. And what the Patriots defense did to the greatest show on turf was incredible in that game. And he made the drive at the end. But to do it against this defense, which, I mean, maybe the Ray Lewis Ravens defense that beat the Giants, it's on that level of the great defenses that we've seen in the last, the last 25 years or so. So now is the
Bears defense, Ravens defense, Giants defense in Super Bowls. You're not going to get much better defenses than that. And Seattle was, Seattle's right there, and you're not going to get a much tougher defense than that. If Tom and the Patriots actually can win this game, man, you got to tip your hat and be like, he's probably the greatest ever.
So that brings us to what everybody's been waiting for. We're going to do our predictions. So what I want, guys, I want final score. MVP. We'll go with Rob first.
I'm just going to stick with my prediction that I've had ever since the preseason. I picked these two teams to be here. I picked Seattle to win it. I've been kind of wavering in the last few days because I've just been looking at the way Seattle's actually been playing offense a little lately. But, seeing the way Patriots have actually played offense, and Patriots' defense gets overlooked a lot. Their defense is on par with Seattle for the season. But we're going to stick with it. I pick Seattle 27-20, and I actually think Marshawn Lynch will probably be the MVP.
All right, Rob. Senior, I'm going to guess you're going the other way.
I think it's going to be a great game. You know, I'm really looking forward to a great game. Believe me, if I'm wrong and the Pats win this game comfortably, I'd be real happy, but I don't see that happen. This is a great opponent. And I think it's going to come down to a couple of plays here and there. But I'm going to go with the Pats. I'm going to say 24-20. And the reason I'm going with the Pats is because of the defense. Because of the Brady. I'm waiting to kind of play in the quarterfinals. So Brady's my MVP.
And then, Senior,
not here.
Yeah. That might be me.
There we go. All right, so real sounded like a rainstorm or something. So real quick,
we've had
Senior.
Some rough weather up here recently, but not rain.
Real quick, Senior. What was your score? I heard Brady MVP.
24-20, close game, going to come down to a couple of big plays. Hopefully we make them, and I think we're going to make them because we've got the best leader, we've got the best football player, we've got Tom Brady. He'll be the MVP, 24-20 Patriots.
All right, so that leaves me, the Cowboy here, your host. I've been going back and forth with this one. I try to give you objective analysis. I am a Pats fan. It's not clouding my analysis. Anyone who's listened knows I've been as hard on the Patriots as anybody this season. So I've looked at it. I tell you, if it's a blowout, I think it's going to be a Seattle blowout. So I hope it's a close game. I don't see the Patriots running them out of the building. I don't see any possible way that happens. I do see the possibility that Seattle could run the Patriots out of the building, and that's just kind of what we saw last year with Denver, which is the Patriots can't run the ball at all, so they decide to split them out five wide, and that is playing right into the Seattle defense's hands. So hopefully that doesn't happen. My actual prediction, I think it's going to be a little bit more high scoring than you guys, but I'm going to say 31-28 New England with Tom Brady as the MVP because in a high scoring game, who else is it going to be? But I'm with you, Rob. I think Shane Vereen is going to be kind of the unheralded MVP, the guy that maybe they don't see coming, and he's going to need to make some plays out of the backfield, and I think he can. So we'll see. It's going to be a hell of a game.
Should be. Hope so.
Yeah, it should be a great one. No doubt. One for the ages.
Excellent. And then, looking at switching gears here real quick, looking at Rob's Twitter feed. Rob, are you a boxing guy?
Yes, I am.
I'm a huge boxing guy. So you think the fight's going to happen?
I actually do think it is going to happen now. Since those two, met face-to-face, I've said for, years now, no matter how much negotiation goes on, I just don't think Floyd actually wanted to deal with Bob Arum. And if Bob Arum was actually out of the picture, the fight would have happened a long time ago. It's just, Floyd being a stubborn dude and, not trying to give Arum anything that has to do with any fight that he has. So, if Manny actually just goes with his advisor and, they agree, which I think they have agreed, I can't wait.
I mean, you would think, I thought it was dead when Cotto Canelo got blown up. I thought it was dead because I thought for sure that meant Mayweather Cotto too. But right. I don't think they would have done this thing at mid court of the. I mean, obviously that was a little bit orchestrated, right? I don't think they would have done that at mid court of the Heat game if this fight wasn't happening. Like, I mean, I think it's going to be the highest grossing fight of all time, and they're just slow building. They're already getting us, getting us ready for it. As far as what happens in the ring there, I think it's such an interesting style matchup because, I mean, for Mayweather to win, he'll probably have to win throwing less than half as many punches as the other guy. And, man, I think he can do it because I think he can catch Pacquiao on the way in, but what an awesome style matchup. And I know people say it's a little bit too late, but I think, as much as Pacquiao got knocked out, right, but Mayweather has slowed down in his own way, too. He definitely doesn't move around as much as he used to. I mean, 10 years ago, Maidana would have never hit him as many times as he hit him in the first fight. So I think as far as age, I think they're pretty even. But how do you see it going if it happens?
I think Floyd will go into the fight not like he went into the Maidana first fight. I think Floyd would be actually more the old Floyd that we were used to seeing. He'll be defensive. You're exactly right. He won't throw as many punches as Pacquiao's going to throw. Pacquiao's going to come out. He's like, Tasmanian devil. He's just going to throw a lot of punches regardless. But I just think Floyd is one of those guys that he's so skilled in the ring, he'll be able to fend off all of those punches. And he will catch, Pacquiao. Do I think he's going to knock him out? No. I think it will go to a decision. I think Floyd will win a decision. And honestly, I hope it happens May 2nd, and then it happens again, like October or November. I would love to see them fight, more than once, just to see the way the styles would match up in the first fight, and then see the changes that would happen in the second fight, just to see the adjustments that both fighters would make in the second fight. I think Floyd would win both of them. Just going by common opponents, you just see the way basically Floyd would pitch shutouts with common opponents that they have had. And when Pacquiao got knocked out, it just said to me right there that Floyd would probably dominate a fight between them because Pacquiao would probably get too happy in the ring trying to knock Floyd out. And it just wouldn't happen that way. Floyd can take a punch. No doubt about that. I've seen him hit, and I've seen him hit hard. And he'll shake it off. It'll be known that he got hit and, he got hurt, but he'll shake it off. Shane Mosley was one of those guys that I've seen him hit him as hard as anybody I've ever seen hit Floyd. It shook him. And from that point on, it was a different fight. Floyd was like, all right, let me stop fooling around, and
that was ugly. It was ugly.
Yeah. Do what I got to do and put a beating on this guy. And it was like that. And I just think that that's probably what would happen. Kind of along the lines of what we saw in the second Floyd and Maidana fight, where it was just basically a shutout, he made the adjustments that he was going to make and not going to stand in and let Maidana be a roughhouse and just kind of throw punches all over the place. He made adjustments and said, all right, I'm going to be Floyd. And you're going to take these punches. I'm not going to knock you out, but you're going to take these punches for 12 rounds. And that's basically what happened in the Pacquiao fight.
Yeah, and I mean, the other comparison is the Castillo, Jose Luis Castillo.
Right, Jose Luis Castillo, right.
Arguably beat Floyd in their first fight, and then Floyd made the adjustments and beat him pretty easily in the second. So I see it similar to you, except I think that first fight, I could see Pacquiao winning a controversial decision just based on volume. You know, the judge, you know, it's a lot of times Floyd is by far the biggest star in the ring. So it's, you know, so judges are going to lean his way automatically. Whereas with Pacquiao, it's kind of a 1 and 1A. They're both huge stars, right? So
right.
If Pacquiao's throwing 100 punches around and landing 15, and Floyd's throwing 35 punches around and landing 17, you know, judges score volume sometimes, and I could see that being a real close decision that could go Pacquiao's way. In the second fight, though, if there were a second fight, I agree with you. Floyd's the master of making adjustments, and I would any second fight with him, I would see him taking. But I really hope it happens, man. I've been waiting so long for it. They can't do this and just have them be shining us on again, right? It has to happen this time. So
I don't think they were just putting on for the cameras at the game. I think it was serious. You know, Floyd actually said that he wanted to get the fight done, even though, you know, Manny put a deadline on him early in the month about the deal that they actually supposedly had done. But, you know, seeing those two guys, you know, face to face and talking, there can't be any questions now because, you know, everybody saw it. And everybody knows they actually went in and talked face to face and that they actually tried to hash out a deal. So, you know, if anything comes out of this now and Floyd backs out now with, you know, any type of excuse, it's just going to, you know, diminish anything that he has to say about not fighting Manny if the fight doesn't happen. So at this point, you know, I just think that it's definitely going to happen. One thing I will disagree with you on, though, about Manny winning a close decision, I don't think that would happen in Vegas. If it was anywhere else, if it was in Dallas, you know, if it was in California, if it was, you know, outside the U.S., if it was in Madison Square Garden, anywhere else, you know, if the fight were close, you know, I would say that the judges would probably give it to Manny. But with this fight happening in Vegas, most likely, I don't think that would happen.
I mean, honestly, you never know. You never know. I mean,
true.
The Canelo fight, it was in Vegas, and one of the judges called it a draw, which is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. The De La Hoya fight, someone actually gave that fight to De La Hoya, Tommy Kaczmarek, which is, I mean, just ridiculous. So, Rob, but if the fight's going to happen, we're definitely going to do a preview. We'll probably have a boxing writer or two on here, and I'd love for you to come on and join that discussion if you're interested.
Yeah, I'd love that one as well.
Awesome, man. All right. Very good, guys. So from the lounge, Cowboy Senior, thanks for sticking around for that boxing talk. Cowboy Senior, not a big boxing guy, Rob, but he was a...
was the time. I'm an old school guy, you know, but no, I kind of lost interest somewhere along the way, but it was good listening to you guys. You almost drummed up a little interest for me. For me, and if that fight happens, I might watch it.
So real quick, yeah. Rob, I was about 5 years old. I'm 35 now, so I was about 5 years old. My dad, sorry. Cowboy Senior, was having a party over the house, and he came and woke me up about 10 o'clock at night and made me watch Tyson knock out Trevor Burbick to be the youngest heavyweight of all time. So it runs deep. It runs deep. So
listen,
I can give you another good one, Rob. We had a house full of people. It was a pay-per-view, and in those days there weren't many of them. You know, but there were big. It was the beginning of the pay-per-view era. Marvin Hagler against Sugar Ray Leonard. House full of people, and so we're doing a little. I had to put the kids to bed. Roger was young, still young.
I've seen them all.
And we're drawing a little pool before the fight, and where, you know, everybody gets somebody in a certain round. And my buddy looks over, he's sitting on the couch, and he looks over next to him. Little Roger had come crawling out of his bedroom, and he's on all fours. And he looked up at my buddy and said, "Hey, Ronnie, can you get me Hagler in the fourth?" So I did plant those seeds young, along with the football and the basketball and the baseball, like any good father should.
Absolutely.
He took it all and ran.
My dad did the same thing with me. I've been watching boxing since I, man, as far back as I could actually remembering anything. So, you know, I go right back into those Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier days.
Nice. Have you,
great stuff.
Have you seen a fight at MSG, Rob?
Yes, I have. Okay. I've been there. I've been there a couple of times. Watched some championship fights. Yes.
Awesome. All right, so it's been a great time in the lounge here tonight. Hope everyone enjoys the big game, and we'll be back next week. Very, very happy that Rob was able to join us. Thanks so much, Rob. We love having you here. I hope you enjoy your time on the lounge.
Yep, no problem, guys. I'll come back soon.
Absolutely. So, for Senior, for Rob Carpenter, I'm the Cowboy, and I'm out.